Rate deep. Oh. Ah. Deep. Oh. Rate.
He gave me the ability to have our audio on. So my audio is working, your audio is working.
All right. Well, I suppose for the time being we can proceed then.
I hope so. Okay, well then let's continue. Hopefully this is going to be either live or recorded, able to be on our archives.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly, with hats off to you for having me this evening. And indeed, I can say as a fellow programmer and host,
recording in progress.
Oh, wait. Okay, something just popped up that said recording in progress. And it wanted me to tap "Got it" on my phone.
Okay, let's see if that works.
Now I have a little record symbol up on my phone.
Let's see if this works.
Certainly hope all the listeners could hear up to this point, or especially from this point on, at least. But again, thank you so much for having me this evening, Kimberly. And I am the fellow host or host on hold, as I say. Oh, John Parker, a familiar face and voice to both of us, just texted me and said he hears us loud and clear. So thank
awesome.
You so much, John. That solves everything. He is he's definitely an angel out there in the listening world, I swear. So anyway, once again, to make sure the listeners hear this, thank you so much again, with hats off to you, Kimberly, for having me this evening. And I'm a fellow host and programmer on WGXC, or host on hold, I will say, of the Monday morning show. It's been on hold since March of 2020 for obvious reasons. But this is why I cannot thank you enough that much more for turning around and inviting me to be your guest / co-host this evening. Oh, Rob Gellis, you know my friend Rob, he just said I'm listening to it on the radio. Thank you so, so much, Rob. So we are definitely being heard. And you were my guest for the first time. It all started off, we met on a website called alignable.com, and you were my guest on the Monday morning show on WGXC from December 30th, 2019. And then you so kindly turned around, and especially during COVID with my show on pause, how would you like to host your own podcast and have a website for that, amongst posting photos and other things? And that's where the Roach Solid Truth came to be. So countless thanks this evening goes all to you, Kimberly, I must say.
Well, that's wonderful that you would bring up the fact that we've known each other and that I've helped you as well as you've helped me. And that's basically what we are supposed to do in the world, right? Help one another. And
indeed, and that's what WGXC is all about. That's why, as a fellow programmer, host, and also sustaining supporter, I strongly urge, please, all, if you'd like to contribute to how Kimberly signs all of her emails, love, beauty, joy, as I say, this is a pledge drive for positivity, as are all the pledge drives on WGXC. Please do call area code 518-697-7400 or go to wavefarm.org/donate.
Awesome. So we're going to be sharing with you, our listeners, more information about why we particularly enjoy this station and why we would like for you to join with us and pledge. But in the meantime, my first talk term is Indigenous. And I'm just going to ask you real quick, do you ever have a question about what Indigenous meant, Garrett? It's okay, whatever you answer.
No,
you know, we're going to keep it real here.
Not a particular question at all, because I'm well familiar with what the term means. Indigenous as far as the indigenous peoples of particular lands or particular countries, such as the Native Americans in the U.S.,
yes.
Or the Aborigines in Australia. There's also the people in Ireland known as the Irish traveling people, who are the indigenous people.
And I'm glad you brought up that, because when we talk about indigenous, we normally think of people of color, right? We're not really looking at the actual definition of the word, because it's come to mean something more akin to race and ethnicity as opposed to location and the beginning of a group of people who were settled on a landmass where no one else had settled before. And they become indigenous when another group of people happen upon their shores. And you mentioned the Australian indigenous, the Aboriginal people from Australia. And that was the case before the Europeans came to Australia. They were just people of that land, right? And then they were given a term, and then we had to decide or have a difference between those who lived on the land prior to those who came. And of course, history goes to the people who win the war on inhabitants, you know, the inhabitation of a particular land or land mass. So just like in America, we have First Nations, which is the same as in Australia, and you mentioned in Europe too. And there's the same in Finland, which is in Europe. Many lands have still those people who have pretty much never left the land once they've settled on it thousands of years ago. So that's the term that people are using currently as opposed to Native American or even First Nation. So I know I've met someone recently here in Hudson who uses the term indigenous, and I would love to have had her on this show, and maybe she will come on one day. But that term popped up, Garrett, in a application that I was filling out to receive nonprofit funding. And in order to receive nonprofit funding, the leader of the organization had to be of a BIPOC ethnic group. And BIPOC is Black Indigenous People of Color. So I really thought, okay, well, this is not just a word to be used to describe people. It really means something now where you may not be able to receive funding, or you may not be able to be thought of as a person who can take on a particular role in an organization. And none of this is new, but the term is. What are your thoughts on that? Have you?
I find, Kimberly, thank you for asking, dear. I find that once people just consider each other and come to the realization of joining hands as human beings and all these broken down classifications and labels to say who receives what funding are cleared away, and people are there across the board just to support each other, that's when the true progress will be made. I've heard that term before, Black Indigenous and such.
Black Indigenous People of Color.
Black Indigenous People of Color.
Excellent. I'm letting my teacher come out.
Excellent. Thank you. I've definitely that memorized now. Black Indigenous People of Color. I have heard of that in passing. And what gets me, Kimberly, is the most important thing I'd like to say is that we are all colorful people, where it all starts with personality first. Personality, motivation, and positivity. And the classifications go back to the ones who were entitled to, or felt they were entitled to take land. It all goes back to land. And I could go into very deep, much longer than this show could last for, this 1 hour show, into an explanation about the connections with land and class and how it started off way back when as a class situation and then was pushed forward into a race situation that sprung off from that.
Well, and we don't want to go too far in depth, but I did want to, because we only have an hour show. Before, it used to be 2 hours when I was on another show on WGXC. However, I did want to discuss the term as we believe it to resonate with us, and then share what the dictionary definition is. And the dictionary definition of indigenous is relating to or being a people who are the original, earliest known inhabitants of a region, or are their descendants. And they mention many of those lands that we just talked about, but it's in the Americas, you know, in the South Americas. It's in every continent you would find people who could be labeled or termed indigenous. So, yes.
Correct.
And I like that you said that we should kind of take the terms off and just see ourselves and our personalities. However, that wouldn't be America as we are today. And I think it's really important to know how we are today, as well as aspire to what we would like for us to be. We don't want to cancel something out because we have aspirations. We still have to walk the walk in any area that we find ourselves in. And that's why I want to segue now.
Oh, and keep the traditions and uniqueness amongst us, absolutely.
Exactly.
And celebrate each one. And so many people might take the term Black Indigenous People of Color. Some people might think, is it a person who's a partial African American and partial Native American heritage? And there's a few different ways, I suppose, someone could consider that term.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that term doesn't mean exactly that, right? There's something called the BIPOC Project, and it is very much a determination of the term. Their mission, they write, is the BIPOC Project aims to build authentic and lasting solidarity among Black, Indigenous, and people of color in order to undo the Native invisibility, anti-Blackness, and dismantle white supremacy, and to advance racial justice. So it's a really positive terminology that BIPOC takes on for this organization. And if you were to check out the BIPOCproject.org, there, one of the quotes that they use is of Audre Lorde, who was a poet who identified herself as a gay woman and had lived a good part of her life in another country, Germany. And it writes, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences." And so from today, I would like people to understand that the term BIPOC, as well as Indigenous, which is part of that, it's not to lower the self-esteem or awareness of any other group, but it's to build recognition among those groups that are against Black people or do not want to see that there is injustice in depending on your racial category in America and the world to some extent, and that the people who are considered indigenous on land, they are somewhat invisible to those who have come afterwards. And so they want to highlight that. And obviously, that term then means it's a valuable forward progressive term and not to be denigrated or denigrating any group or making any group negative in their life.
Simply bonding forces and joining hands.
Simply put. Let's talk about Colin Powell. Because this is part of the news, and I like talking about anything that can shed light on positive stories about people. So this also takes care of my bio's highlights, because the biography of Colin Powell. Now, I remember thinking of Colin Powell as one of the first people I would probably have voted for, although I will share, I'm not a Republican, but I would totally have voted for Colin Powell, I think, if he would have run. But the situation goes, he probably wouldn't have run for office because his wife was not wanting him to. And we see with President Barack Obama, a lot of what he had to go through with his racial awareness, being what they term black and white. And that's another term I wanted to bring up. And since I guess one would say I'm black, Garrett, and that you're white, we probably could talk about black and white together in a way. But Colin Powell, he passed away. I'm going to actually just read a tad bit about him, because I think it's important, since I want to share his the understanding of his ethnicity and what makes him so appealing in the world, in our world, in America, no matter what political group you come from or persuasion that you find yourself is in. Colin Luther Powell was an American politician. He was a diplomat and a statesman and a four-star general. He served as the Secretary of State, and he was the first African-American Secretary of State. He actually was the youngest person to become a one-star general. So he has lots of firsts in America history. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, being the youngest. So there's a statement that goes, you know, if you're going to be successful as an African-American, you have to be the absolute best, right? And so if he's the first, he's the youngest one-star general, then one could see how he could rise to the level of being the first African-American Secretary of State, and the other first that he became was four-star general. The first Joint Chiefs of Staff, who was an African-American, and National Security Officer. So he had like four firsts in his life, being that he was African-American.
Astounding. Yes.
And they mention African-American, but his family was from Jamaica. And last month we talked about the identity of, why can't people just be American? Why are they African-American? Why are they Jamaican-American? Why are they, you know, Ghanaian-American? We don't understand that. So he always saw himself as an African-American, and therefore I would consider him an African-American, but you could totally have hyphened it as a Jamaican-American of his heritage, being that that's where his parents were from, both of them. How do you feel? And I'm putting you on the spot, but this is where we keep the conversation real, and that's why you're my co-host today.
Wonderful. It's such an honor to be your co-host. You put me on the spot anytime, please. And it's very interesting you point that out, because a person who's from generations back in this country, in the U.S., primarily of Caucasian descent, may see a Jamaican person and see they're black and consider them their African American straight away. But yet, Jamaica is not last I looked, wasn't part of Africa per se, or the continent of Africa. But people presume that they see black, they say African American straight away. Also, what's interesting to note about Colin Powell.
I'm going to stop you there because something. I'm going to stop you there for a second because something just made me think. I know some people from South Africa. They're white.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
and so yes, when you can, say that, yes, you know, your identity, one can be color and one can be your ethnicity. So I would like talk more about their ethnic identity as opposed to their color identity. And that would lead me into another conversation. So, and we have to pause for something else. So I'm going to have you finish what you're going to say, but I wanted to just bring that up that, yeah.
Thank you.
It's your ethnic identity versus a color identity.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that to light, Kimberly, because I actually thought of that years ago. I encountered some white South Africans when my mom and I were living in Vermont. They were there to partake in the Killington Ski Resort. And I thought to myself, you know, if they became nationalized and acquired American citizenship and say they had generations of children in this country, would they be considered African Americans? I mean, people would hear they're South African and say, oh, you're from Africa, but you're white. You know, all of a sudden that would be a
misnomer.
surprise and a misnomer, and they'd be taken aback by it. Also, to continue on about General Powell there, it's to my understanding that he is a descendant of some of Princess Diana's relatives as well.
Oh, have you heard that? I actually didn't hear that.
On her mother's side of the family, and her mother's maiden name was Roach, by the way.
Wow, that's how you know. So you're saying he's actually related to you then too, huh?
Interesting enough. I'll just say, just to keep it brief and just so we can keep on topic for race talks, I'll just say, who knows at the moment?
But right, we're all family. We're all, you know, what do they say, 7 degrees of separation?
As I say, if we take a look at the palms of our hands, we all have an M on. Have you seen the lines in your all of our palms of our hands? We all have an M.
Right.
It looks like the letter M.
What do you say that comes from?
Oh, I'm just saying it's in general. When we look
at being human, hands,
we have like an outline of what looks like the letter M right in the center of the palm of our hand. I can show you on Zoom, even though the listeners can't see, only hear us.
Well, I see that. And I want to take this opportunity to talk to our listeners today.
Yes, please. Like
we mentioned earlier, WGXE is kind of how we met. It's a platform where voices like mine, underserved voices, are embraced and allowed to be heard. It's not normal. It's not often that a person could come to a community and say, I would like to put race talks on the air. I would like to talk about race and ethnicity and how to end racism by having a conversation and having people be educated. And so for this platform to give me voice, I feel so very blessed and thrilled about it. So I want to say again that I am going to be, because I haven't yet, but I'm going to be a supporting member of this station. And I just want to ask at least 2 more people join me by supporting us at WGXC by giving us as little as $5 a month. Or if you're able to donate more, give more, the maximum level you can. It's tax deductible as a charitable contribution. And if anything happens and you want to change your mind, you can cancel it at any time. Also, you can just make a one-time gift by visiting wgxc.org/donate or by calling 518-697-7400. And I want people to understand when I mentioned having a conversation about WGXC having social media sites like Twitter and Facebook. I also, we want them to know that they don't have to just pay with a credit card or donate money by using a credit card. They can also use their PayPal account. Did you know that, Garrett?
I most certainly did. And they can also mail a donation
to
the Acre Studio.
Really? Okay, now you're trying to one-up me. Okay. Then they can go backwards to snail mail. Yes, they can. And they can get that information on the website, wgxc.org/donate.
Positively. I can give it actually that mailing address in a little while. I have it written down here. Speaking of, I understand most listeners will more than likely donate via the website.
Well, while you're looking for it, I just want to share a little bit about the organization that happened recently. A few of us, actually about 25 members, were all on a Zoom call, and the.
Please.
Oh, different faces and accents and all of the different types of shows. There are eclectic music shows, other topics of talk like mine, urban radio. I think there was radio where I'm not exactly sure what instruments were being played, but it's that eclectic, right? And then we have the general news for community knowledge. That and one that I'm going to offer today with a particular job announcement for that has to do with being part of the DEI or diversity, equity, and inclusivity or group to try to, of course, combat the ever-present in America differences between. Race and ethnicity. So have you found it yet? Because I'm just going on here.
Fantastic.
What do you do? Okay, well,
no worries at all.
It's not
I
really
have it, I
necessary
have it all but
for,
the zip code.
Well, I think, again, they can go to the website. Everyone that's listening.
www.wgxc.org/donate. Or 518-697-7400.
Okay.
Please, I do second that. Please hear Kimberly out. And as I say, consider this a pledge drive for positivity. And as Halloween is coming up, frighten the living daylights out of your bank account and give a monstrous donation to WGXC.
Hello.
I'll have, in case someone wishes to or doesn't have access to the internet, I do know the, I have it coming up right here, the mailing address that they mailed a wish to mail a check, is, got it, WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, ACRA, that's A-C-R-A, New York, 12405.
And I'm going to make sure you say that one more time at the end of the show. So for those of you who are listening and you would want that snail mail address one more time, we're going to give that to you. So just stay tuned. So I want to do the Q&A now. Now, I mentioned the Q&A has something to do with Hispanic National Heritage Month.
That's correct.
Have you ever questioned why we have Heritage Months?
I have questioned as far as where the compelling nature came and by a particular month, a particular Heritage Month. Yes, I have, and I don't know exactly the full history as to why in the next 2 months is Hispanic Heritage Month. I believe that it'd be December.
Well, National Hispanic Heritage Month, as it is in America, is celebrated from September 15th to October 15th. So it's actually in 2 months. And I have one of those minds that go, why is that? I just went to one of our favorite places and in Hudson in Columbia County. And we were both dancing on the dance floor. We didn't have very many, accoutrements on, like costuming, but there were some people there who were in real costumes. What holiday were they celebrating? Do you remember?
Indeed, the Day of the Dead.
Yes.
Day of the Dead.
And so when you look at Hispanic Heritage Month, there's different groups of people who speak Spanish. Hispanic means coming from the Spanish, which is different than Latino, which is Latin America, which is South America, right? South and Central America. So when you put these two groups together, it makes sense that you would have a September and October Heritage Months. I mean, yeah, 4 weeks, 2 weeks in 1 month and two in another.
Gotcha.
So you believe that I'm telling you the truth here? I like to keep it real, but I also like to keep it fun a little bit. So you believe me, would that be the right answer?
Well, because it says Hispanic National Heritage Month in 2 months, I would think that that would mean the month of December.
No, it's not in 2 months. It means that it lasts during two-month periods, September 15th to October 15th. So that's 2 weeks in September, 2 weeks in October for 2 months, not in 2 months, like in November.
Oh, okay, because in the email from earlier, it says celebrating Hispanic National Heritage Month in 2 months, in parentheses. So I was thinking December, that kind of.
Okay, I'm not sure how that happened. But anyway.
I understand.
So they had Hispanic Heritage Month fun facts on our Census Bureau. So I wanted to keep it fun.
Interesting.
You just made it go somewhere else thinking it was in December, but I'm going to bring it back.
Sorry.
No. So one of the things that people don't like, I don't know if I like it or not. I'm not really sure. It's why do we have to check a box on our census? You know, what ethnicity we are. And I don't know if even if it says ethnicity on our census, it could still say race. And, you know, I don't like the term race as far as, you know, what our cultural, historical heritage is, because one race, the human race, and many ethnicities. That's how I come to understand those terms, and that's what I put forth. But in September of 1968, Congress authorized President Lyndon B. Johnson to proclaim National Hispanic Heritage Week, observed during the week that included September 15th and September 16th. And in 1989, it was expanded to a month-long celebration from September 15th to October 15th. The start date is significant because it is the anniversary of independence of five Latin American countries: Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. I tried that in my best Spanish voice.
Well done.
I know. I speak only a little bit of Spanish. In addition, Mexico and Chile celebrate their independence days on September 16th and September 18th. So that's really why we start with 1 week and then we've gone to 4 weeks. And so you don't want to backtrack. We've gone forward. So that's basically the truth. And if you want to know more about National Hispanic Heritage Month, some more fun facts, you should take a look at the census.government information. But I'm going to share two fun facts. I guess I don't know if they're fun, but they're facts. One of the things about the Hispanic population in America, it's outgrowing all other ethnic groups in America. About 60.6 million people as of 2019. That was the population of the Hispanic Latin speakers or Spanish-speaking population in the United States. And that means roughly one out of five people, 18.5%. So they've actually increased the numbers so that African Americans are now under that percentage point.
I have heard that, yes.
Well, now you know indeed. It's true. It's not just something you hear, it's true. So I would say the African American Heritage Month, well, Black People's Month, is my birthday month, February. It's the shortest month of the year. And that was always like a question mark. Like, if you're going to give us a month, why does it have to be the smallest, the month with the fewest numbers, number of days in it? However, it started out as a week, just like the Hispanic Heritage Month started out as a week. And because of the birthday of a very famous African-American Black person. And so how things start, you know, we never know, but we now try to make everything a month. So we have a month-long celebration for people who are of Asian descent. And the same is true for people who can represent other different ethnicities in America.
And it'll turn into a lifetime celebration for us all.
I love celebrating. I mean, one thing about Mexico, I have a Mexican friend, and she's like, Kim, we celebrate something like twice a month. They have holidays. So like you say, I don't see any reason to discount giving recognition to any group of people. And certainly we don't talk a lot about white people having months of note, because most people would say every month is a month that a person who is of European descent could showcase, right? So, however, there are certain groups. Sure. There's Polish Americans in America, and they have celebrations and rituals. And so people who are in America, but their identity still is strong with their root country. We have celebrations. So the one that is really great that I've been part of in Savannah, Georgia, is the Irish, the one of Irish heritage.
Lovely. In Savannah, Georgia, huh?
He said it's one of the largest, it's where you wear green. What is it called again?
Oh, you're referring to St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. Yep. There you go. So, we celebrate a lot of different cultural groups. And so it's not, if someone's sitting back asking, well, why do we have to celebrate a month of this and this? Because we do. And let's just be happy about having an opportunity to celebrate, which is what Aud Lorde said in her quote that I just mentioned that someone took and put on the BIPOC page, right? So I think it's great. Now we are nearing the last 10 minutes of Race Talks, and we still have some points to get across. I wanted you to do a Q&A.
I can't believe how it's like blown by. But I'm ready for more Q&A, please.
No, I want you to give me a Q&A. But I don't want to put you on the spot right now. I want you to think about a Q&A if you have one. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to start into the next conversation. But I want to get back to your Q&A. Okay, so Super. The next, but of Thank course, you. Is ethnicity in education. One of the things that is important to showcase is how we can best share our knowledge and understanding of culture with our young people. And education is critical and it's key. And I use the word critical because there's something called critical race theory. And in the yes. news today, there's a Texas law that's trying to limit teaching on race. And I really don't like that word out by itself, race, so I'm going to include and ethnicity. there's a podcast about it. It's on network television, and MSNBC talks about it quite frequently. So I want to end with our last 10 minutes information about critical race theory, and to have people go and listen to a podcast. Since I have a podcaster on the air right now, you know how important it is to people to go and search for your own information, and podcasts allow you to do it more so than going to a local channel, not local, but a national channel like MSNBC. It certainly can highlight it, but to really delve in deeply, you should really focus on getting the information yourself. So I'm bringing it up, but I'm not going to discuss it today. I do want to discuss it in the future, but I want to have a group of people from our community, from Greene County Schools, from Hudson City School District, from even going up to Albany, people who really could share specific light based on what they're doing in the school district on this. And it brings me to the job position of the DEI manager, diversity, equity, and inclusivity manager, that is now open until October 25th. So hurry to get your application in if you're interested in this job. And that will be at the Hudson City School District. And I know that this position is to report to the superintendent of schools in the Hudson City School District, or the person that she gives, or I don't know if it's going to be a she, because I know the person in Hudson right now is looking to be her, this will be her last year, her last school year. So the person may end up being hired by this the current superintendent, but will be then working for someone underneath her currently. So that person is, that position, DEI manager, I brought it up. Do you have your question yet?
I see, and I do have my question for you, Kimberly.
Okay, wait. So I want to bring it up first and just say where they can go and find that information. You can find the Diversity, Equity, Inclusivity Manager from the Hudson City School District via Jubal. If you've never heard of Jubal, it's like Google, but for jobs. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but that's what even us fellow programmers, is WGXC is also all about, us all learning from each other. So that's awesome. That's great to hear. Kimberly.
Yeah, so just a few things. The person serves as a coordinator and a liaison to develop mutually beneficial relationships and partnerships with community and governmental organizations, agencies relating to issues of equity. Also, to develop, implement, monitor programs and processes that promote and sustain diversity and equality. And another highlighted ability that the person needs to have is to assist human resource manager in identifying, participating in, and creating recruitment opportunities that might attract a more diverse pool of candidates for all job openings. Now, when you see diverse pool of candidates, I'm likening it to diversity, equity and inclusivity. So people who have varying race and ethnic backgrounds.
Excellent.
So there you go. Look for the qualifications. I hope someone out there who is listening and who espouses to ending racism would be applying for this position. Okay, so what's your question?
Well said, Kimberly, and thank you so much. My question is, and this question is actually leading to a brief story to share regarding race, is do you know where the term hillbilly comes from?
Yeah. I think I've heard, but we're running out of time, so you're going to have to tell me.
All right. They ran to the hills in this country, primarily in the South, and they had been on the other side of the pond, the supporters of King Billy. So they called them hillbillies over here. The Confederate flag is actually based on the Union Jack in England. And I had a friend, and I had a dear friend and pen pal in Morristown, Tennessee. She was first generation Mexican American. Her name was Hazel Laguna. Unfortunately, we since lost contact a few years ago because I'm not sure, but I believe she had some situations, family, personal things going on, and some of her family were not naturalized here yet, and they were struggling with that, although she was a citizen because she was first generation here. But she told me, you know, Garrett, we still have some bedsheet wearing KKK down here that'll get out and they'll just keep shouting over you. You can't even get back over them. They'll keep shouting the white power and all that. And I said, let me tell you something, Hazel. I would come down there and take care of them because I would go right up to them. I'd say, take your sheet off your face, show your and stop hiding behind it. Show yourself for who you are. And I can tell you that you're known as a hillbilly because you were supporters on the other side of the ones who were granted land in this country and were entitled to own slaves because they were there, you know, they had been entitled to own land and then therefore slaves. And they also took the land from the original natives in throughout England and Europe. And she said, oh, Garrett, you don't understand. They'll just keep shouting over their shit. And I'd say, I bet if I said it to them and I put it to them a certain way, it would shock them and make them walk away with their tail between their legs.
You told her that.
Yes. And she couldn't get over it. She was very grateful, but she said, there's no talking to these people. And I said, if they heard that, they probably never heard it in their life from anyone. So it would shock them.
Well, when you say the term hillbilly, it reminded me of what someone told me about the term redneck. But, you know, it's terms that are being used that aren't so flattering to the people who are being given that title.
I've heard various histories as to where that word comes from.
Well, I just want to let people know who are listening to WGXC and Race Talks right now that we at Wayfarm Radio would ask for you to tune in to 90.7 on your FM dial or online at wgxc.org/listen or the Wayfarm Radio app. Did you know there was an app? Or the TuneIn app. Because here we keep you entertained, informed, and we know that your ears are open because we're community radio, we're community, and that means family. So if you would want to continue to hear us, hear your neighbors, me, then please give. Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any denomination of funds that you choose. It's a tax deductible charitable contribution and you can cancel it at any time. Very easy breezy. So to make a reoccurring donation or to make a one-time gift, visit co-host
www.wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 or WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Acre, New York, 12405, to mail a check.
And the keyword, or I should say, key top term for next month is entitlements. Stay tuned, Race Talk listeners. I so much value your support. And we at WGXC, all of us programmers,